Are big fires inevitable? I've heard nothing today that's persuaded me that they're anything but inevitable, still, for three reasons. One, the nature of the Australian landscape, and particularly the complexity of the vegetation that it supports, but also the variability of Australian climate, which is indicated to increase with climate change. And thirdly, because of the increasing complexity of the urban bushland interface around our major cities and population centres. I don't list land tenure as one of my reasons for concluding that it's, or land tenure changes as one of my reasons for concluding that the big fires are inevitable, because I actually think there's an awful lot more common ground between land managers than has perhaps been indicated in some aspects of today's discussions. Until we can work out where the lightning's going to strike, much more precisely, and where the somewhat less than 10% of the fires that are going to get out of control and not be able to be tackled quickly, unless we can get a level of precision in there that isn't on the horizon, then I think we're faced with this reality. That doesn't mean that we can't do something about managing it. And I think there are two particular things that we pretty obviously can do to better manage. And they've been discussed at least partially today. One is getting really collaborative with regard to strategic planning. It has to be strategic planning that acknowledges that complexity and that variability that I've already talked about. It has to avoid some of the rather absurd generalisations that we sometimes hear about things like the bush response to fire, as if it was uniform. We need to acknowledge that variability. We need to be wary of those who espouse the value of selectively mimicking some indigenous land use and fire management practices and then applying them across the whole continent. Clearly, they weren't uniform. We also have to make sure that we're not unrealistic about our prescribed burning expectations. Every conservation agency that I'm aware of in Australia, is committed to prescribed burning. The only issue is how the hell to actually get it done, get the burns done in the timeframes that are available. There clearly need to be stronger links into urban planning and the decisions that are made on development control at the urban interface as part of that strategic planning. And if you wrap all that up in some way and talk about it in terms of integrated land management and so on, as some of the other speakers had, then I think we're heading on a common theme here. The second major thing that I think we can do is engage in flexible and adaptive, what I'd call operational management, but I would stress that that doesn't just mean suppression. It's operational fire management for preventative measures as well as for the suppression activities. It needs to be based on robust science, but it needs to be robust science that delivers workable answers to complex questions, which might sound like a tall order, and I think it is, but it's where a lot of the effort needs to go in over the next little while, and we can expand on that in the discussion if you wish. It needs to break down the barriers between the land managers who might otherwise be focused on quite different objectives, and I think it needs to incorporate getting the researchers and policy makers reality testing their work in the what I'd term the decision-making cauldron of an incident control centre in the middle of a crisis. Having visited quite a few of those, nothing focuses the mind better, I think, than to be there realising that the decisions are being made now on the basis of the available information at this point in time, and it's happening. And so I think if the researchers and the policymakers are there watching that and can say, how am I going? Can I contribute? Where does my work contribute to this? Final point I'd make is that I think we need to build on the modest achievements that we have made to date. I think we need to celebrate the fact that incident teams and the work that they do are increasingly a success story. And the incident management teams are made up of people from all the disciplines and all the backgrounds, and in fact there's a lot of common ground there. Matrices have been developed to simply identify sustainable fire regimes for different vegetation types, which have delivered some practical guidance for people. Threatened species legislation and regulations can be applied sensibly. They don't have to be major obstacles, and I think we've seen with codes of practice and things how they can work better. And I think a lot of the strategic and operational plans can be put into the form of map-based things, which are very user-friendly. And these are all positive things. Let's get on with building on them, and I think we can achieve a great deal.